When I used to live in Paris, I would often use public transportation to get around the city. One evening, I took the regional express train home with a friend after dinner. We were standing and chatting near the doors, and as we approached the stop, I noticed a man walking toward me out of the corner of my eye and saw him lift his foot like he was going to tap me with it, I guess to signal that he wanted me to move a bit farther away from the doors. Instead, he gave me a sharp kick to the back of the leg. I whipped around and glared at him, not exactly sure how to respond, when suddenly I heard a hiss and felt a puff of air hit my face. After a half second of confusion, I was blinded by a burning pain that flared up in my eyes and my face. He had pepper sprayed me. Shocked and incapacitated, I instinctively turned toward my friend and buried my face into his chest. By this time, we had reached the stop, and my friend hurriedly led me out of the train as I clutched onto him. I could hear someone trotting beside us, a woman speaking in French, saying that she had seen everything. When we reached the entrance of the station, she went to the information desk and asked if they had anything that I could use to rinse my eyes. As I fumbled with what they had given me, I could hear her on the phone calling an ambulance. It was going to take almost 45 minutes, but she realized there was a hospital within walking distance, so she led my friend and me to the emergency room. When we arrived, she bid us adieu and left us in the care of the doctors. I don't think there's another experience in my life that more closely resembles a parable of Jesus. There are a number of parallels between what happened to me on that day and today's reading from the Gospel of Luke. Like the man who was fallen upon by robbers during his journey, I was also attacked by traveling, while traveling. Like him, I was caught unawares, unable to protect myself, and rendered defenseless. Like him, I encountered a stranger who helped me in every way that she could, before bringing me to a place where I was safe and could receive more care. Now when I read the parable of the Good Samaritan, it conjures up the visceral sense of helplessness, the blinding fear that accompanied my literal blindness, the feeling of complete dependence on whoever would help me, and the overwhelming gratitude I felt to my friend and the stranger who rushed to my aid. After this experience, I find myself more readily relating to the man in the parable who was mobbed. But when I used to read it, I think I more or less ignored him. I think I considered him to be little more than a bit character, whose misfortune served only to set the stage for the Good Samaritan's heroic acts of charity. The Good Samaritan seems to be the most important character in the parable. He is the character you want to be able to relate to. After all, the parable ends with Jesus' command to go and do likewise. Go, imitate the self-sacrificial mercy demonstrated by the Good Samaritan. Go, show neighborly love to everyone you encounter who is in need, making no exception on the basis of religion or ethnicity or any other aspect of someone's identity. This is the behavior we see modeled by the Good Samaritan. By the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, the Jewish people had for centuries considered the Samaritans to constitute an ethnically and religiously distinct group, and relations between the two communities were marked by hostility and suspicion. But despite this entrenched animosity, the Samaritan is moved with pity at the sight of the man. We assume he's Jewish, though Jesus does not say, lying half dead and naked on the side of the road, and does everything in his power to help him. There's no question that the Good Samaritan is an inspiring example of the unconditional love for all people that Jesus teaches his followers to practice. But if we turn our focus too quickly to the Good Samaritan, we miss something important about the way that Jesus has crafted this parable. Although our tendency today is to identify with the Samaritan because of our familiarity with the story, that probably would not have been the reaction of Jesus' original Jewish audience. Upon hearing the parable, they would have been more likely to identify initially with the man who was assaulted than with the Samaritan. What role does the identity of the characters play in the parable? When asked by the lawyer, given that the essence of the law can be summarized in two commands, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Who then is my neighbor? Why does Jesus not tell a story about an expert in the law who encounters a Samaritan at the point of death and shows him mercy? This version seems to convey the message of Jesus' parable just as well. The message that everyone is a neighbor by virtue of their humanity, that the love that the law commands requires us to overcome any attitudes that might cause us to withhold mercy. That is certainly Jesus' teaching, but it does not capture the whole point of Jesus' parable. By making the character that Jesus' audience would have naturally identified with as a victim in the story, Jesus leads them to imagine themselves receiving mercy from someone they would normally be estranged from. In this way, Jesus is not only providing an answer to the question posed by the lawyer. He presents a psychological and spiritual dynamic that shapes how his message is received. What is that dynamic? When I used to think about this parable, I thought I was just supposed to be inspired by the Good Samaritan. Now I find myself inspired by the gratitude the victim of the robbery would have felt at his rescue. I am inspired in part because I have personally experienced the goodness of self-sacrificial mercy when I was completely helpless. Who one identifies with in the parable changes the way that one hears its message. If one first identifies with the victim, when the command comes, go and do likewise, it is not heard primarily as a call to live up to the example of an impersonal moral exemplar, but rather as a call to follow the example of a person who would save you. In this way, the parable of the Good Samaritan prefigures the gospel. Jesus showed us self-sacrificial love and mercy and died on the cross to save us when we could do nothing to save ourselves. In following Jesus, we follow not only a moral exemplar, but also our Savior. And when we recognize the grace that Jesus showed us, our gratitude inspires love of God and love of our neighbor. Paul makes this point in the reading from Colossians appointed for today. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. The metaphor of fruit that Paul uses shows that love is a natural outgrowth of faith in Jesus. This is why St. Augustine is able to pray, O Lord, command what you will and give what you command. The grace and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is not only the forgiveness of sins, but also the motivation to love in the way Christ teaches us through the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. This is what Luther is getting at when he writes, My God has given me in Christ all the riches of righteousness and salvation without any merit on my part, out of pure free mercy, so that from now on I need nothing except faith, which believes that this is true. Why should I not therefore freely, joyfully, and with all of my heart, and with an eager will, do all things which I know are pleasing and acceptable to such a Father, who has overwhelmed me with his inestimable riches? I will therefore give myself as a Christ to my neighbor, just as Christ offered himself to me. I will do nothing in this life except what I see is necessary, profitable, and salutary to my neighbor, since through faith I have an abundance of all good things in Christ. Christ has visited us with his salvation. He will enter every trembling heart and let all of us his life receive. And with the new life of Christ, we are moved to save the weak and the orphan, defend the humble and needy, rescue the weak and the poor, and deliver them from the power of the wicked.